Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And here we go with a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us today. Plenty to get to in this hour. And I got a couple messages last night, even this morning. Great suggestion yesterday. I don't want to say I told you so, but remember I asked you to check out that $1 million championship game last night at the TBT, the basketball tournament in Columbus, Ohio. What a finish it was. The target score was set for, I believe, 78. The Golden Eagles, which is primarily a Marquette alumni team, had possession of the basketball. After working the ball through the low post, it went out to the right wing, the right corner, and there was Travis Diener. Of course, the Diener is a big name in college basketball. Tom Crean, in his time at Marquette, as players there, and he knocks down the corner three, basically, for $1 million. Essentially, his shot was worth $1 million. It got the Golden Eagles from 75 points to 78 points with Sideline Cancer, which featured Mo Creek and Remy Abel. They were right on their heels. I think at that time it was 75-73. And then the final points of the game by Diener to win it, sends the Golden Eagles back to Milwaukee, or that area at least, with $1 million to split among themselves. Pretty interesting, pretty exciting. Amazing how hard the guys play. Amazing what a good level of basketball it was as well. And the TBT, job well done. We had John Mugar on a few weeks ago to talk about what the tournament would be like this year. It was for a little less money. Last year it was $2 million. There obviously were less teams. They brought 24 to one central location and made it a bubble like what the NBA is doing now in Orlando. And there were no regionals or qualifiers or anything like what there had previously been. But let's hope we're back to normal next year, because even in a crowded sports calendar, this time of year, this early July, there's not a lot of basketball on TV. Really, there's none on television in most situations. I know it's different this year, obviously. But it was good stuff, and I'm a believer of the TBT. Yeah, I probably struggle to watch some of the games that, you know, you don't know anything about, but if even those games, if you learn a little bit about the teams, if you look up their roster, you're going to know some players from the Big Ten or from IU or from college basketball or from the state of Indiana. There's going to be somebody on there you recognize and you can kind of get to follow once you see them for a couple games. But job well done. Great to see basketball back on TV. It's got me ready to see some NBA ball. I think we are a week and a half or so away from that. And let's knock on wood that things continue to be positive down at the bubble. I think since NBA players have been there, I've seen there have been 3 positive tests as they test those guys on a very regular basis, it seems like. So that's good news. A couple issues with players accidentally leaving the bubble. I heard John Spears yesterday talking about, I forget exactly who it was, but somebody crossed the line leaving the hotel to pick up food from one of the delivery services instead of just letting them hand it over to somebody and then bring it into the bubble that could. You know, you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. You got to be very particular if you're the NBA when you're trying to pull something off like what they are trying to pull off right now. I think the most interesting question I have now that the TBT is over and the NBA is getting ready to take over the airwaves, and it's going to be pretty much wall-to-wall basketball during many days, which is going to be great for basketball fans. But the number one question I have is not if the bubble gets started. I think teams are there and practices have begun, and you know, we're going to get to see the Pacers. There's rumors that Vic Oladipo might play. We talked about that yesterday. I'm excited to see Romeo Langford. He was getting some minutes with the Celtics. Does that continue as things restart and down in Orlando? But I think the number one question I have is, Not if it gets started, not if it's enjoyable basketball to watch. I think it's going to be, does it finish? Does it make it all the way for, I mean, it's not just a 2-3 week thing like the TBT was. Granted, some teams will go home after 8 games if their team does not make the playoffs and the bubble will shrink a bit. And granted, after each round of the playoffs, the bubble will shrink a bit as teams go home from the Eastern and Western Conference. But does it make it? Does the bubble survive, healthy survive, all the way until the NBA Finals when it will be down just to 2 teams? And they actually are going to allow some family and I don't know if it's friends, but family, close family, at a certain round of the playoffs as well, which will add some additional people that are allowed to at least be at the games. I don't think they'll be living or staying within the bubble with the players, but going to be interesting. And again, when you think about basketball, normally, you know, it's players, it's a certain game, it's a certain whatever that you're excited about and you want to see. And I'm glad to see all of it, glad to see any basketball right now. But I think the number one thing I have is, does this thing work with that many different players that I'm sure all at some point want to break the bubble, maybe do break the bubble, maybe they get caught. I'm assuming that the security and the video cameras and however they're policing it is pretty tough. But does it make it, and do anything, does this virus spread in a big way within the bubble, and do they have to pull the plug? I mean, let's hope not, but this is legitimate questions you have to wonder right now as the NBA gets ready to start games here within the next couple of weeks. So welcome into this Wednesday program. Let's take a look at the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one coming up here in just a few moments, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, a number of things to get to today, some big Big Ten news. Dick Vitale with a tweet about Michigan State a little earlier this morning. We'll talk about that. Also, some great news for Sean East, former New Albany player. He went to prep school, went to UMass. He's transferring to Bradley. Got really good news last night, and we'll tell you all about that. We'll update the COVID-19 situation with high school sports, a number of things to report there, both with high school and college. And it's always fun to tell you about local athletes, especially our basketball players that are getting recruited by some Division I programs. And we've got updates today on Caden Stanton of New Albany. We'll tell you about him. We'll also tell you about his teammate Tucker Bivin, who's getting some interest in basketball, but he's really a big-time baseball prospect already committed to the University of Louisville. So we'll cover that and more coming up in our headlines in segment one. Later in the show, Dustin Dopierak, he's formerly of The Athletic, a great voice on IU, on stuff in the state, on college basketball and sports, and he joins us in the next segment for a chat. Also later in the show, Josh Cook of the News and Tribune, the sports editor from the News and Tribune, always with me Wednesdays. We talk local sports headlines, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home with a $4 t-shirt. And with Josh today, we're going to talk about the coronavirus. It's affected some local schools, 2 now in our area, and how those coaches and schools are handling those situations, because I just have to believe it's a matter of time until it's a more widespread issue, not just at 2 schools, but in many of our schools here in Clark and Floyd counties. Also, we'll talk a little bit with Josh when he is with us about Sean East and his big news he got last night, being eligible next season at Bradley. And we'll recap the $1 million championship game last night from the TBT that I mentioned at the very top of the show. That's the show lineup for this Wednesday, July 5th. We are basically smack dab in the middle of July as we move closer to the start, as it stands right now, the restart of school. In-person education is scheduled to begin at many of the school systems in the area in the final few days of July, later this month. We'll see if that decision holds as well. And just a very interesting time all the way around. It doesn't matter if it's sports or education or politics or whatever you can think of right now. There are a lot of interesting things going on, very concerning things maybe in many ways, going on in our landscape right now. The show lineup is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you check out their store for new dinner package deals that are now being offered. Also, you can dine in as well as pick up. Available curbside service. It's available, too, if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's look at our Zaxby's headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot of things to get to. Dick Vitale with some big Big Ten news. If what he says comes to fruition, he tweets that, quote, word is that Xavier Tillman will return to Michigan State and pull out of the NBA draft, and that would be great news for the Spartans. Plus, Xavier, he can evaluate his stock for next year's draft, plus give MSU a super chance for a national title. So, again, Dick Vitale with that tidbit earlier. And when you look at top players coming back to the Big Ten Conference, a number of them right now have said they are going to try the draft. Now, we'll find out in August who exactly is going to stay and not stay because of everything being pushed back. But Xavier Tillman returning to Michigan State is a huge offseason note if that comes to fruition, as I said, for Michigan State, and that's what Dick Vitale had to say earlier. Also, Sean East of New Albany, again, great career at New Albany for the Bulldogs, was on the state championship team, and was really Romeo's running mate. He made so many great passes and plays that culminated in a Romeo Langford alley-oop or basket or dunk or some exciting play over the years, and he has had a very interesting post-high school career himself. He went to a prep school down in North Carolina, and it wasn't necessarily at the time a prep school that was really a big-name school, like when you think about some of the elite prep schools across the country. But he did his research. It was one of the schools that was up and coming, and he did well. He got seen by a whole nother set of college coaches. He was able essentially to work on his game morning, noon, and night without a whole bunch of class requirements. And it was a good situation. He committed to UMass as a true freshman after the year of college basketball. And don't forget, he averaged 4.9 assists per game last year at UMass. That was the fourth highest total in the nation by a freshman. I did not realize that until reading the release yesterday from Bradley. Of course, Sean transferred to Bradley at the conclusion of the season. I knew he was applying for a waiver to play immediately. There's such a thing. You can apply for a transfer waiver that allows you not to have to sit out a year of competition when you transfer from a Division I school to another. If you can give the right reasons, the right situations, the other school has to sign off on it that you're leaving, and of course the school has to agree that you're going to as well. And Sean got word back, the Bradley program got word back yesterday that he is going to be immediately eligible at Bradley for next season, starting with the 2020-2021 season. So big stuff for him. I think he'll be a great fit in Bradley and with that program based on what they have coming back. There have been some Indiana connections there with assistant coaches and some players as well. And so let's hope that Sean can pick up really where he left off. He had a great freshman year at UMass. Just seemed to come out of the starting lineup maybe in the final, I don't know, month and a half of the season. And his playing time did dwindle some in that final few months of the year. But he really, the first half or more of the season, appeared to be really a key player and was headed to toward a big career, it looked like, at UMass. But things change, and he's in a place with Bradley where he gets a fresh start, and we'll see how it goes for Sean. But the good news is he's immediately eligible next season. Also, COVID-19 with football. We told you yesterday that Silver Creek football, I think actually on Monday, that Silver Creek football had a positive test. They had canceled practice for a day to allow the health department in Clark County to do some tracing. They went ahead and canceled practice for the rest of the week just to see how things play out, as some of the players that were in the same group or cohort with the infected player, to give them time to quarantine and see how that turns out as well. So no football this week at Silver Creek. It sounds like Coach Pappenhaus and the athletic director there, Coach Dablo, who we actually had on to talk about this very subject, just the preparation for this summer and the return of sports at the high school level a few weeks ago. It looks like they're doing all they can to handle it. They have a plan in place. They're working with the health department. And again, this is just stuff that's going to happen, especially kids, as they're out and about. There were a lot of proms organized by parents over the weekends. There's going to be events. They're going to be in school buildings as it stands now. this stuff's going to be spread, especially among students and maybe others in school buildings. And so I think you're just going to have to get used to seeing Team B maybe not available for a week, or maybe the certain part of the team has to quarantine based on who was most around the infected player or players. We also saw yesterday that Brownstown, in the same conference, the Mid-Southern Conference of Silver Creek up in Jackson County, they announced that they've had at least a player positive for COVID-19. So they've postponed football practices until Wednesday, July 29th. So it sounds to me like they are going to basically quarantine the whole team, not just the sector of the team where the infected player was around or he practiced with. And the scary thing about bumping it back to July 29th for the entire team, that's just days before the regular season of August 3rd is scheduled to begin with normal practices, full-fledged football practices with contact to get ready for scrimmage games in mid-August and, of course, the first night of Friday Night Lights scheduled for later in August here in our state. But Brownstown is among a number of programs. Another local program, Floyd Central, their football program has reported that they have a positive that came in over the weekend as well. So they're in the process of handling that. Again, that's Silver Creek and Floyd Central locally. We'll see if any other schools have positives and make announcements, whether it be football or other sports. But across the state, it doesn't matter what corner, from South Bend to the region to Indianapolis to just outside of Indianapolis, there have been reports of football players specifically coming down with COVID-19 and with their teams pausing, at least for now, voluntary workouts. It's exactly what we saw happen in the college ranks, so we assumed it would happen in the high school ranks as well. And I even saw Jason Hawkins, the coach at Charlestown, who's been a coach now, a head coach in our area for a long time. He put a tweet out earlier today. He said, quote, "We need to be proactive and think about moving football to the spring. We need football. Kids need football. Schools, athletic departments need football. The IHSAA needs football. We cannot go a year without it." And again, that's Jason Hawkins at Charlestown encouraging a move to spring. I got to be honest, as of now, I have not heard much in the state of Indiana about there being a movement to push it to the spring like is being done in other states. New Mexico is pushed to the spring. There's been talk about it in Kentucky, but no action on it just yet, and other states as well, including even at the college level. A couple conferences pushing their football to the spring, the National Junior College Athletic Association pushing football to the spring as well. So we'll have to see what happens. Do other high school associations, does Indiana maybe look at the spring and overlapping some sports in the spring, like baseball and football on top of each other? You're going to have some multiple sport athletes that are going to have to choose if that is the case. Also, looking at the coronavirus, Evansville, the University of Evansville, they've suspended voluntary workouts for all student athletes after 13 student athletes tested positive for COVID-19. So again, just more of the same. We're seeing this happen at all different levels all across the country, as the students return even to high school sports, which were allowed to begin in Indiana last Monday. So we're a week and a half in. We've had two known positive cases locally, but many positive cases across the country. The other interesting high school note, the South Bend Community Schools superintendent yesterday, in an update about their return to school plan, he said for the foreseeable future, at least for now, they are not going to allow any fans in high school sporting events involving South Bend Community School teams when they host the game. That's their policy, and I'm assuming that that would be in place for a while into the football season, into the fall sports season as a whole. No telling how long that policy could last, but again, is that an example of more to come? Will that become standard if high school sports are played this year, that fans and even parents not allowed into the games? Could that be a real possibility? I think possibly it could. Final couple notes in our headlines today. It's always fun to follow Division I caliber players here in Southern Indiana, and we are so blessed to have so many great players. We've had a number of back-to-back classes with some big-time players and guys that go on to play Division I, even at the mid-major or low-major level, and have great careers. Of course, right now we've got a number of players. So Will Lovings-Watts, Jake Heidbreeder, Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, and there's others. That's just a sampling of those attracting D1 attention from right here in Clark and Floyd counties. And add another player to that list, Caden Stanton. He's a junior to be at New Albany. Had a great year, especially a great close to the season, the second half of the year last year for the Bulldogs. He said last week he's starting to hear from some Division I schools, Alabama A&M, Ball State, Bellarmine just across the river, Belmont, and Liberty. That's a nice collection of some good mid-major programs there, both in-state and out-of-state, really across the region that Caden is beginning to hear from. I think this kid has a great ceiling. He's a hard worker and will be very key as the point guard for New Albany next season. And his running mate, Tucker Bivin, he's obviously come on as well, had a solid year last year, had a great start to the season, and I'm sure will come back next year strong for New Albany. But he's committed to Louisville for baseball. He's just an unbelievable baseball prospect. And so in the offseason, he dedicates so much of his time, obviously, to playing baseball at a very high level. But interesting update on him, Tucker Bivin from New Albany is now ranked as the number 68th in the country overall baseball prospect in his class. He's ranked as the number 15 shortstop in the country, so the 15th best shortstop in the country, 68th overall as a prospect. In the state of Indiana, the second overall best prospect and number one in the shortstop position, according to Perfect Game and their rankings. He's beginning to get looks from some scouts even at the next level, as his ranking has jumped up about 30 spots just this offseason alone. He recently had a big outing down in Alabama at the Perfect Game Junior Nationals in Hoover. Understand there were all sorts of not just college but professional scouts there as well. So Caden's getting it on the basketball side, Tucker on the baseball side, and those two together in the backcourt should be very good for New Albany next season. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Our headlines each day are brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany to serve you. We'll head to a commercial break. Back to talk college sports, IU, and more with Dustin Dopierak after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak, he's formerly of The Athletic, and he still joins us on Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball, college basketball, and more in this crazy time of a pandemic here on the show. Dustin, great to have you with us again today. I want to start with the TBT, million-dollar winner-take-all championship game last night, and how fitting, the guy that hits the three to get the Golden Eagles, the Marquette alumni team, to the target score is Diener, a legendary name in Marquette basketball. That family is. Of course, Tom Crean brought those brothers to Marquette into that program. But now I think he's an operations director for the Marquette program under Coach Wojo. But he knocks down the shot. It's worth $1 million, and they're going to split up $1 million today. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was, it was just a really fun tournament all around. That was some kind of game. I didn't get to watch too much of it. But I mean, obviously, you got to give credit for sideline cancer with Mo Creek and Remy Abel. Getting as far as those guys did, those guys were terrific. Mo Creek especially, played really well last night and has played really well in this whole tournament. And so was Remy. But Travis Diener's just been lights out in this tournament in Marquette. I mean, you forget how many good, solid players Marquette has had, throughout the year. It's not necessarily, it's some of the guys you kind of forget about how good they were, and they were still able to put together a really good team for this thing. So it was impressive, and I think, one, it was a good tournament. Two, I think, obviously it got everybody, gave everybody something to watch, and certainly kind of, on a smaller scale, gave you an indication that a bubble situation can work at this stage, basically. That if obviously, again, wasn't a very long period of time, not nearly as long as the NBA is going to be, but they were able, obviously, to keep that thing together and play a whole tournament without any issues. So all in all, just a cool tournament. Yeah, just a terrific, tournament by that Marquette group. It beat some good teams on the way.
You know, I pay a lot of attention because of some things I do here in Southern Indiana to how events are run. And we had John Mugar, the founder, CEO of this tournament, the TBT, on the program. We've had him a couple of years now to talk about things and how this all came together. But running an event like this in the middle of a pandemic without the resources of a professional sports organization like the NBA is big stuff and a big challenge. And I know that they were absolutely hardcore in their policy on one player on the team. If one is positive, that team is done and must forfeit their spot. They had some replacement teams there early on that took some spots even before the tournament began. But I thought they did a great job managing this thing. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to see it in person because of the pandemic. We couldn't be there. It was closed to fans and everyone else. Sure. But I thought it was a job well done as well. Not only a great idea that's really come together in recent years, but a job well done in managing and running this thing in the midst of a pandemic also.
No, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things that will get more because of, you know, sort of the service that I guess it provided to sports fans at this stage. It's one of those things that they deserve a lot of credit and certainly, you know, more respect going forward when it's not the only thing on the you know, hopefully won't be the only thing on the sports schedule a year from now and 2 years from now. You know, it deserves, you know, attention going forward. I mean, I think obviously it is a reminder. I think we've talked about this before, of just how much basketball talent there is out there. You know, ultimately there are only so many spots, you know, in the NBA, and it's, you know, far fewer roster spots than there are in Major League Baseball or the NFL. And there's only so many guys that get to do it. So you kind of forget of just how many incredibly talented players there are out there that are still fun to watch, you know, years after they played in college, well, when everybody was watching these guys go to Europe, or even they go into coaching, as you mentioned, or they even go into, you know, something else professionally, but just find a way to play some ball on the side and keep themselves in shape, and they're still able to do some of the just spectacular things we've seen them do over this week. And it was really well-run tournament in terms of handling the pandemic, keeping everybody together, keeping everybody sane, and I think that's not really easy, especially when you've got some guys that aren't maybe professionals at this. To, you know, spend 2 weeks, you know, in lockdown and, you know, just get used to it and be disciplined. And, you know, take it seriously enough to not go mess around. And they managed to do that. They obviously, again, like you said, zero tolerance for anybody who had a positive test, just decided they weren't going to bring in there and risk it. And, yeah, just did seems like a good job of all around of, it seemed like just even from the outside of watching reporters that were covering it from a distance, that they still managed to make those guys accessible while still, you know, obviously keeping people at a distance and in most cases just not letting anybody else into the facility, but doing things through Zoom calls and even just the way they handled sideline interviews. You know, basically just with a really long mic, somebody else holding the microphone, you know, for the reporter. That was just everything that was done was really done, I think, professionally and with a lot of attention to detail. So I thought that was really impressive.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak, he's formerly of The Athletic, and he joins us on Wednesdays to talk basketball, sport, college sports, and more. Does the NBA, we know the bubble's going to begin. They've got it set up. They've invested a lot into it. The players are there. Courts are there. Practices are taking place. A lot has went into getting it thus far. We know games begin here in a couple weeks. Do you think the bubble, does it make it all the way through? Do we get to the NBA Finals, which I think, what's the maximum a team could be there? Isn't it like 90-something days maybe? Do we make it that far into this thing?
I mean, I guess I'm going to say yes just because there's so much investment in it. And I think these guys want it. I mean, I think there are going to be some issues that already have been. You know, I don't think there's any question that there's going to be some, you know, guys are going to be losing it. There's going to be some, you know, that snitch hotline is going to be abused, I'm sure. And people are going to point out, you know, this guy's doing this, this guy's doing that. You know, there's the center from the Kings whose name escapes me, who stepped, I guess, a little bit outside the bubble to pick up food. You know, there are going to be some issues there just because you can already sort of see the complaints on the, you know, Twitter handles of media and players that they're going to be bothered by this. But I mean, everybody in there wants it bad enough. I would say, or at least enough guys in there want it bad enough that if you want to win a title, and this is what it takes, you're going to do it. And if you're the NBA, you've got too much riding on it to not let it happen. I think the issue is obviously keeping them separated from the other people in the park, because they are starting to let people into Disney World now, apparently, despite all the growing number of cases in Florida. Seems, sort of surprising, but all in all, they're just, I think they'll grit through it. Is it going to be pretty? Are you going to have some weird complications there? Probably. Is there a good chance that someone's going to, pick it up or test positive? It's certainly possible. And obviously that'll shake things up a little bit, but I think though that we are in the stage where I think people are going to want to try to grind through some things just because it's like, you're so close, you're right there. And if you're going to start this, I think a lot of bad has to happen for the bubble not to hold enough to get through a season. Again, you've already got some key guys that have tested positive. They're going to have to sit out. Russell Westbrook tested positive. And so that's going to be an issue. Certainly that obviously shakes up just the way this thing is going to go. I think it will, just because there's some determination on the parts of a lot of players. And certainly the commissioners and the coaches, they will find a way. If there's something else they have to do to shake it up within that, I think they will. Will they enjoy it? Will everybody come out of this saying, hey, we should totally do this again? No, absolutely not. I think I can say that just from looking at it. I know media members are working out in their, in their rooms. Like, they actually are running sprints from their front door to the wall. I think the media guys are going to go stir crazy. I think there's a good chance of that. If they're not allowed outside, I think there's going to be some issues there. Ultimately, I think you're going to get through this just because there's too much riding on it not to.
Hey, that brings up a good question. I reached out to a couple, I guess I could say, friends that I have made with Boston Celtics writers because of Romeo Langford that are kind enough to join us from time to time, although there's been a gap here with no basketball being played. But
right.
How does that work? There's so many different publications and newspapers and online things. Could any journalist be approved to go to the games and be in the bubble, or was there a limited number of press allowed to represent or cover each team? Do you have any idea on that? Some of the Celtics guys said I'm there. Some say I'm not there.
Yeah, no, if I'm not mistaken, there were two tiers. That's how I recall it. It is. I'm trying to remember how I learned about it. I think it got tweeted out or something like that. I'm not sure what they ended up settling on, or if this was just kind of a leak. But in terms of what I've been following, I haven't been just really dug into it. But I think the major sort of publications are allowed one guy. I think there's maybe a total of like 10 or 20 people that are allowed within the bubble. And then there's kind of a second tier that you're like allowed in town, and everything you do has to be via Zoom call or something like that. All I know is that it's tiered to be able to actually, I think to be able to actually have any level of contact with people. And that means, nobody's allowed in the locker rooms. And I think if you're going to talk to people in sort of a mixed zone afterwards, when they're approved, obviously you have to social distance even while you're doing that. But you have to be dedicated to the bubble. Like, you can't leave. Basically, it's like there are more freedoms for people that aren't allowed to actually contact with players, I guess, might be able to, talk via like a Zoom call press conference or something like that. I don't know exactly what the second tier gets, but as far as I understand, the first tier is a very, very exclusive group, and it's mostly national guys. It's mostly people you've heard of. And as far as I know, for the Athletic, for example, I was very much wondering is, even back when they were talking about this thing at the very beginning, it's like, okay, are they sending the whole, you can't send the whole Athletic team there. I mean, you're talking about, 40 people or so. So there's just, I didn't figure there was any way that even the Athletic was going to be able to do it entirely. And I know Joe Vardon is doing a really good job of, kind of just doing like kind of a bubble diary. I think, he's basically the main, he's one of the main guys, him and Shams Charania. Are basically two of the Athletic's biggest guys. And I know he's in the bubble, but I don't think that like 20 of them are in the bubble. I think it's a tiered system, and they're trying to do, I don't even know. It's going to be very interesting to watch in terms of how that sets up and how that stays as they keep going.
Interesting stuff. Dustin Dopierak is my guest. Let's close with IU basketball. Obviously, recruiting is the big deal right now. And then some workouts on campus as players are back in Bloomington now. College football has taken the storyline on what happens with the season. Is there a season? Is it conference only like the Big Ten has to announce for football it will be and for all sports? But we're not really to a point yet where we know enough to talk in any confidence about the basketball season. But there have been a couple different ideas or thoughts put out there. One of those is that if and when college basketball happens, it could be later, and it could be conference only as well. What are your thoughts on that? And have you heard any other rumors or people saying ideas that make sense for what college hoops could look like as we're still waiting to figure out the football situation?
Yeah, no, it seems very similar to football, that everything is sort of, you know, play it by ear, that you have to have kind of a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, in terms of, okay, everybody seems to be throwing out something else. And I know people have, you know, written stories on that about the possibility of, okay, you know, going to just conference play, or maybe, you know, expanding conference play just for the sake of, you know, getting more games in. Because obviously I think the big reason to look into that is just it allows you sort of more control of what you could do, and you'd rather just kind of cancel all those contracts now and, you know, call the force majeure clause and hope that gets you out of it. And, you know, do that now and get it over with. So that I think is a possibility. I want to say there's something else. I mean, I imagine I'd find it hard to imagine that you're going to see the you know, the Thanksgiving week tournaments. That I think would really surprise me if they were able to pull that off. I mean, I imagine there's going to be some other level of sort of regional scheduling, even if it's not just you know, just not just all conference play. There might be some kind of level of, like, you know, looking at regional stuff. You know, maybe even getting some rivalries back going again. With people that aren't that far away, with a, like Indiana playing a Louisville or something like that, you know, just that's the sort of stuff that I could imagine happening. But I imagine just some of the bigger events that you're talking about probably, you know, right now don't look very good unless things get, you know, fixed really, really fast, if things really, really turn around. And I think obviously college basketball, I think, is going to hang in and wait and hope that that happens. Basically wait and hope that you see something that dramatically changes the trajectory here, and, you know, maybe give it a while longer just to sort of hope for some kind of miracle to come together. But just sort of everything, it does seem like, you know, conference play is, you know, conference play only is certainly a possibility. You know, a later start is certainly a possibility. And, you know, again, a lot of big events would surprise me to see any, you know, of those big events happen. But again, I imagine they're going to wait a little while to kind of take advantage of the cushion a little bit longer to see if anything kind of, you know, presents itself that makes sense.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll be in touch with you next week. Always appreciate your insight and opinions.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak with us on Wednesdays. And, again, I saw something just a few moments ago. The National Federation of High School Sports and Athletic Associations, kind of the governing body, I guess, for the athletic associations. Eight states so far, eight members, have said they're going to bump back fall sports, but still all remain committed to having some sort of football and fall sports season in one way or another. So, again, changes and announcements with high school stuff and college really beginning to come in now on a daily basis, and we'll be keeping a close eye on what happens here in the Midwest, of course, specifically with the state of Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our final segment of the day. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he joins us to talk about local sports presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Wednesday program, joined by Josh Cook. He's sports editor of the News and Tribune. We always talk local sports headlines in this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Screen printing, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms, whatever your needs, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh, welcome into the show. Glad to talk some local sports with you. The biggest news right now from a local perspective is the coronavirus. It's alive and well, and there have been some local players that have had to deal with that or are dealing with that as we speak. One football player from Silver Creek and, of course, a football player from Floyd Central as well. And even though sometime being the first to have an announcement like that is a difficult thing, I think it's something that us in the media, parents that have kids playing high school sports, and fans in the area should get used to those kind of announcements from coaches and schools.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Matt, definitely. It was, you know, it was just a matter of time, really. You knew it was going to happen. So now it's just, especially with football, because obviously there's so many so many kids participating in football, you know, at all big schools, New Albany, Floyd, Jeff, you know, Silver Creek, all, you know, they all have a lot of players, football players. So you knew it was inevitable. Now it's just, you know, how you move forward with it. And, you know, everybody seems to be taking the precautions, you know, and hopefully just get through this time and then just get back to the practice field.
Josh, you've spoken and visited with some of the coaches as high school workouts have begun across the area, and I know that I'm sure the reactions are a little different. The practices each have their own take, but not a lot of contact allowed, really none right now. Different coaches, especially football coaches, structuring their practices different ways. But I tell you, something that makes a lot of sense is keeping football players, even in any sport, basketball, whatever sport may be, getting together right now to do kind of individual work in a group setting, keeping kids within a same smaller group. So if you're with these 10 players every day, that's who you go through your workout, your drills with. That's who you would be most around during the practice, because when you do have a positive case like Silver Creek and Floyd Central have had to deal with, you can not just shut down the whole team. I mean, you could have to do that, or you could be very safe and do that, but you also could target even a smaller group maybe that was most likely around the infected player or the positive case. That makes a lot of sense to me, and I think you've seen some coaches, as you've been out and about, they're taking that approach to things.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. They're, you know, as directed, or the directive that was laid out by the IHSA or the DOE, you know, they are keeping them in small groups, you know, at pretty much all costs, and just trying to keep them, you know, minimal contact. I mean, not contact, but just minimal large groups, you know, nothing too big. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting time. I talked to Dave Pappenhaus again last night, and he was like, you know, the first three practices we had last week, they were unlike anything he'd ever, you know, had as a football coach, but he thought they were really good. So, you know, it sounds like even though these are workouts and they're just getting started slowly, that they're still getting something out of it.
Absolutely. Talking with Josh Cook, he's sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. When do you think, and no one knows the answer, but when do you think we'll know more on fall sports? That's a consistent question I get. Fans, parents, everybody wants to know. You would think that the workouts in July would be a good indicator on how things potentially could go. And, of course, August 3rd is set to be the first official day of high school football practice in our state. Then you've got scrimmages, controlled scrimmages in the middle of the month, and then, of course, games begin later in August. Do you think this is something where they're going to see what happens this month before they make some sort of final determination? Because right now Indiana and the commissioner have said, even as recent as a few days ago, that they are going full force ahead trying to have fall sports this year.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, it's everybody says it, but it's definitely a fluid situation. You know, it's week to week at this point. And, you know, I remember talking to Silver Creek Athletic Director John Dablo, and I think he did too. He was just taking it 2 weeks at a time. You know, the first 2 week period is going to end at the end of this week. So the next week is actually football could start wearing pads and helmets. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, it's just a 2 week increment. Then the next 2 week period starts. After that, the practices will start. So like you said, we'll see if practices get going. Then you got to feel really good about the possibility of fall sports when if there's nothing between now and August 3rd.
Josh, I want to get to Sean East with you for a minute. New Albany graduate, got some great news last night that he's been awarded a waiver to be immediately eligible for competition at his new college home, Bradley, which is located in the state of Illinois. Big stuff for him. So many of those transfers do not get the waiver and have to sit out a year of competition, but he's going to jump straight from what really started as a great year at UMass, a great freshman season especially, to year number two right at Bradley with no sitting out in the middle.
Yeah, that's really great for him. You know, able to play right away, and he just goes on to a really good team that's won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament 2 years in a row. So I know they won 22, 23 games, something like that last year. So, and that's really good for him going into what looks like a great situation. Looks like, you know, the setup for, you know, maybe a third straight invite to the NCAA tournament, and knock on wood, you know, hopefully that would happen this year if, you know, Lord willing, we'll have some basketball, we'll have some college basketball.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Don't forget you can check out all the topics that we've discussed. Josh and his sports team are writing about them at newsandtribune.com/sports and, of course, in the print edition of the News and Tribune as well, serving Clark and Floyd counties and beyond. Josh, as always, thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much, Matt. Have a good day.
You too. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Don't forget that if you're looking to raise money, there are some sports teams getting back at it. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does all the sorting. All you have to do is worry about cashing the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. That is mlshirtco.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Back with you Thursday, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join as we talk IU basketball and more. And, of course, getting back into some high school stuff. We're going to be previewing the high school football season with local coaches and some of the top players as well. We will continue that tomorrow in the program also. Don't forget, check us out as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. Just search for the Hoosier Report, click subscribe, and leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and podcast about IU basketball, football, and, of course, sports locally here in Southern Indiana. Have a great Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.